Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. Temperature is warming up, and thankfully, so are the bats. Speaking of warm bats, Razzball writer and our in-house underwear model, LT, is going to join us today to discuss the question that man has pondered since he emerged from caves and started wearing loincloths. Boxers or briefs? Okay, not really. But he and I will discuss the question fantasy baseballers have pondered since we emerged from our mom's basements. Head-to-head points or roto? Also, we'll have Jay Wrong on to discuss some players he's bullish on. Also, is it pronounced GIF or JIF? Jason Robbins, the CEO of DraftKings, will drop by and say hi and tell us about some of the different games happening down at DraftKings.com. Of course, you can always interact with the podcast by following me on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of April 22nd. Here we go. Razzball Podcast. It is a pleasure, as always, to be joined by our in-house underwear model, Mr. T-Hole Bedick, also known as LT. LT, how's it going?
It's going great, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. By the way, you can follow T-Hole at T-HoleBedick47 on Twitter. And LT, you typically write a head-to-head points column for Razzball.com, correct?
That is correct.
All right, well, good. I'm glad I got that right.
Yeah.
So, LT, what we're going to talk about today, because for some people, myself included, all I know is roto. I've never played head-to-head points for fantasy baseball. To me, it's, you know, the football knuckleheads got together and couldn't come up with a better system. So to maintain that for you guys, not that I'm painting you with that brush, but I am.
Okay. All right.
So, LT, I'm just joking with you, by the way.
Okay.
So talk to me a little bit here about what some of the differences are between head-to-head points and roto, in case someone, you know, drank too much in March and accidentally got into a head-to-head points league.
Yeah, and that's actually how I got into it. Now that you mentioned it, I was looking for some bigger money leagues, and I went on CBS, and I thought I was signing. I've been doing head-to-head, so I thought I knew it was head-to-head, but then it ended up I signed up for like 5 points leagues on accident, and that's how I kind of got into it. But
and you were drunk.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. As always. But, you know, I prefer the head-to-head over the roto score. Even if it's head-to-head roto, I like that a little bit better. And I like, for the roto, I like when they add in, like, OPS slugging as a category and Ks per nine. That's not in standard scoring. So, as in points leagues, those things help too, because like for pitching, there's a difference because you get, you get 5 points for a win and you get 3 points for a quality start, which is 6 innings, 3 runs or less, and goes on from there. But you get -5 for a loss. So it penalizes you a little bit more, you know, having those pitchers like, say, like a Jeff Samardzija or something like that. Because it's harder. The Cubs aren't going to win a ton of games. So if you get that -5, it doesn't completely ruin, but it'll definitely penalize you for having one of those guys like the Fernandez on the Marlins. He's not going to be as valuable because you're not just getting stuff. It's not, even though it could help your Ks and whip for the points leagues, that's not going to be as advantageous. So there's that. And then for hitting, kind of like the OPS. If it's roto, you get more value out of like a double or a triple, or even a walk. At least you get a point. Like in the standard roto scoring, you get nothing for a walk, or you get nothing more for a double or triple than you would a single. So like, I mean, I feel like that should be, you should be rewarded for your guys, one, getting on base and hitting, you know, doubles and triples rather than, you know, I just don't understand how that's not incorporated somehow in standard roto.
Okay, so typically you're going to play on a week-to-week basis. So you and I would match up this week, and then those points will tally throughout the week, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and it's typically, what is it, like 1 point for a walk or a single, 2 points for a double, three for a triple?
Yes, exactly. And then another thing is that, you know, you strike out, you get negative one for a strikeout, and you get negative one to two, depending on the league scoring, for a caught stealing. So it's like you get negative points for these things, which, you know, you don't really get penalized for striking out in roto scoring. But
okay, it's interesting. I see the arguments you're making here, that you're painting a bit of a picture. How do you use middle relievers in this format?
Oh, we don't use middle relievers.
You don't, so just closers.
You don't see too many rosters with Tyler Clifford, David Hernandez, David Robertson, Drew Smyly, John Axford, all on the same team. You would know.
I know what you're doing. You're reading through my team in the Razzball Writers League.
You'd never see something like that, and you just would never come across something like that, because you get points for the saves, obviously, but if you have the middle relief, it doesn't really help you, because you get a point for, like, you get a couple points for an inning. If you throw a perfect inning and get a K, you can get, I mean, for it to be worthwhile, you'd have to have your guy pitch, like, five times during the week, because you're better off throwing in, like, a two-star pitcher that you like the matchups, because you'd rather take that risk and try to get two decent starts out of maybe a guy you wouldn't normally own for the whole season, but you can kind of
strategize
on the week-to-week basis. So I'm a fan of that.
Okay, LT, we're about to wrap up here, but tell me when you post on Razzball.com for the head-to-head points column.
Those come on Fridays at, I believe, 11 Western time, so 2 p.m. East Coast time.
Fridays is when people are looking out for that.
Oh, yeah, you got to check it out, man.
All right, good stuff. And they can interact with you if they have questions at tholebeddick47 on Twitter, correct?
Oh, yeah. Hit me up on there, please.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Get back to the underwear modeling.
I'm on it. Have a good one.
You too, pal. The Daily Fantasy Sports Report. It is a pleasure to be joined now by Jason Robbins, the CEO of DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be on, guys.
So, Jason, I know you guys have been talking a lot recently on the site DraftKings.com about the Chase for the Crown contest. Can you break that down real quick? I'd like your take on how that works.
Absolutely. So the Chase for the Crown is a follow-up to a very successful series that we did during football season, where the winner ended up winning a trip to the Super Bowl. And what we did this time is we revamped it for baseball. We made it $5 million in guaranteed prizes throughout a series of special Chase for the Crown events this season. It's not all events on the site, just a handful that we flagged as Chase events. The way it works is every week there is a series of Chase events, and the winner of the most points by playing in those events qualifies at the end of the season for a playoff. And also the top 20 finishers overall for the season, you total up all your points for the season, will qualify as well. So there's 20 weeks, 20 season-long at-larges, so 40 total at the end. After that whole list is finalized, we're going to do a playoff series between 40 people. The winner will get their choice for vacations, including a VIP trip to Vegas, a Caribbean vacation, a World Series trip, or a tour of any region of ballpark they want. So we'll, you know, let people go check out different ballparks and get the experience of watching teams play. The way the point system works is every single game in that Chase series has a point value awarded based on how you finish in the contest. And we total up all your points from all the chase events you play that week, as well as for that season. And we have a leaderboard on the site that you can go check out how you're tracking.
Okay, that's really interesting, Jason, because that is one of the feedbacks that I've gotten from some of our listeners, is that because you do have so many game models on DraftKings.com, I know it's very easy to log on, pick a game, and just play right away, but why don't you just quickly maybe bullet point some of the games that you have, because now I understand the chase model, but I know you also have some different game models. Well, you can see it right when you log on to DraftKings.com on the left-hand side.
Absolutely. So the chase event specifically, we have a 10,000 guarantee. I'll just do today as an example. We have a 10,000 guaranteed that's $27 buy-in, a 5,000 guaranteed that's 11, and a 1,500 guaranteed that is a $2 buy-in. What's really cool about the chase is that we make the points awarded based on how many people you're playing against, not the actual amount of money that you put into play.
Okay.
And that way you can not worry about your actual buy-in. You can compete at any level. The other events we have a ton of different other types of stuff. So we have other guaranteed prize pools. We have some that are double-up contests, which means that everybody who participates and finishes in the top half double their money. So instead of having that sliding scale of top prize all the way down, everyone who finishes in that top 50% just doubles up. We also have some head-to-head games. And we have smaller pool games you can play against anywhere from 5 to 10 players.
Okay, good stuff. Also, too, you don't want to forget that now it's moved to Fridays. There was a little confusion last week on that, but now on Fridays is the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest at DraftKings.com. So just so the listeners are aware, JB puts up a post now midweek every week with a direct link to that, and you can come on, and even though it's Rudy and Nick you're playing against, you can come on and play against Rudy and myself on Friday nights. And it's a 50-person limit, so there's a really good chance of winning some of your money back. Jason, you guys have been great at DraftKings in terms of giving us a lot of rope there in terms of you know, having our guys be able to not just win into secondary contests, but win a lot of their money back. So we really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Just want to ask you guys, just off topic a bit here, but what do you guys do during like the NBA and NHL playoffs that are coming up? Because I know I'm a bit of a puckhead, so. I will be following the NHL playoffs pretty closely. What do you guys have in terms of the playoff season?
So we're running games all through the NBA and NHL playoffs. In the beginning, when there's lots of games, we'll have daily contests that you can play in.
Okay.
As it gets into the later rounds and the games are a little more spread out, we'll offer multi-day contests. But early on, you can play every single day throughout the playoffs, both NBA and NHL.
All right. Beautiful. That's great, Jason. I really appreciate you joining us here. And, of course, we're going to check you out at DraftKings.com. And, of course, we can follow you guys at DraftKings on Twitter.
Thanks for having me.
We're idiots.
Now we've got Jay Wrong joining us. Of course, you can always follow Jay at Jay Wrong on Twitter. I won't even go through all the posts he does at Razzball because there's a ton of them. I'm starting to think we need like an intro song for you, Jay. Like something like, you know, Jay Wrong, the girls say he's not long. Something like that, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds good. Actually, I've been meaning to ask you how your trip to Phoenix was. How'd that go?
Arizona was fantastic. It was very relaxing. A lot of people tweeted me some recommendations, and I got out to a couple of those restaurants, so it was great.
Excellent.
But I really prefer when we make fun of you. And in fact, now, anytime I have you on, we're just calling this segment, We're Idiots.
Yeah, I mean, it goes with the territory, so I'm happy with it, actually.
Hey, and let me ask you a quick question. I brought this up in the intro because you do those GIFs on your Tumblr account, which are very funny. And also, there's some of Jennifer Lawrence, so it's just awesome. But is it GIF or GIF? Because I've heard both.
Yeah, I think it's whatever the person is comfortable with. I sometimes slip up and do both, but I usually just go with GIF.
All right. Anyway, that's established now. So let's talk some baseball.
Let's go.
So let's talk about a couple guys that that you wanted to discuss this week. First off, the world is in a panic about R.A. Dickey. He was removed from a start the other day. Looks like he's going to be okay. And actually, the knuckler was dancing in that last start. What are you thinking about Mr. Dickey, Mr. Wrong?
Yeah, I mean, despite the neck stiffness, he had his stuff. He went six innings, I think, but only threw about 65 pitches, which is an amazing ratio. I recently wrote about a 20-page love letter on him on why you should buy him, and it's mainly because people just don't trust him. He's basically, his skill set is a market inefficiency. I mean, he's kind of like Melky Cabrera in the same way in that, you know, with Melky, you don't really want him doing HTML for you, but he can get close to 2020, which is pretty much 2012 David Wright.
Right. That's interesting. So you're good with Mr. Dickey going forward, Mr. Wrong?
Yeah, I still think he's an ace. You can get him cheaper than Clayton Kershaw or David Price, so jump on that.
All right, even though he's pitching in the Rogers Center?
Yeah, I know it gets a little homer happy, but there are a lot of AL pitchers who can survive in that division. I mean, David Price is number one, even Waylon Shin. Even back in the day, Freddy Garcia did okay. It's just what you got to do is you got to have your stuff going. You got to keep your balls out of the ball, you know, out of the air, get some ground balls, and when his knuckler's on, that's what you get.
Keep your balls down low.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, man, I'm terrible with pronunciation sometimes. Norichika Aoki?
Yeah, that was actually pretty good at it. Norichika Aoki.
Yeah. Hey.
But yeah, I like him. Based on the post I did, I think several weeks ago on Stat Threshold, basically when a player's new trends, whether they be good or bad, stabilized, contact percentage is the first one, and that's around 100 plate appearances. So we're at the mark where we're at 80 plate appearances for most everyday guys. His contact percentage is 97%. That's up from 88 last year. And so when you look at him, the biggest difference is that he's basically swinging at less pitches on the outside. His improvements are showing through his higher walk rate and less strikeouts. And even though his BABIP's a little bit low, he's suffering from low bad luck, you're still looking at a 300 hitter that does that can do 10-30-plus for the rest of the season.
Now, I understand, obviously, 96.5 is a really high contact rate, but is that insanely high?
Yeah, it's pretty high. I mean, there are other players who can do it. But right now, it's in probably the top five.
Wow.
So,
and that's what you want. You want a fast guy who can put the ball into play.
Right. I mean, his legs will get him a little bit good luck with the BABIP, but he already is a good contact hitter. He still got close to 90% last season. So if it was huge, you know, if it went from, let's say, 67 to 87, you could say, well, that's probably not going to last. But if it's a subtle change and you have the 100 plate appearances to show that the change might be real, then you have a big chance of him keeping it up.
All right, good stuff. Talk to me about Daniel Murphy.
Right, Daniel Murphy. He's kind of the guy who doesn't really help you too much, but he doesn't really hurt you either. And, you know, I'd like to pick out Herbert Cabrera for this conversation because I know you and I share a love of him. Because last year, if you combine them two, they put up the exact same numbers almost as Elvis Andrus and Jose Altuve, you know, which is insane when you consider where each player is drafted. I mean, even this year, David Murphy went on average 3 rounds later than Dustin Ackley. So he's not that expensive to trade for. You can get him as a throw-in piece if you want, and he's most useful as a batting average edge if you own someone like B.J. Upton or Adam Dunn, you know, someone with ugly batting averages.
Hey, speaking of which, let's just both give ourselves a little pat on the back here for calling Everett Cabrera this year. He's off to a nice start.
Yeah, he's looking good. I'm also enjoying the Will Venable start, too. He's not really being bad, but he's doing pretty good. So, you know, while the Padres aren't looking quite as hot as I thought they would be, and I know you're high on them this year, too, those two guys have really been good calls for us, I think. So.
Okay, so we talked about Aoki's contact rate. Here's a guy who you'd be kind of shocked at how high his contact rate is because you think of him as a free swinger, but boy, he's going to score a lot of runs in that lineup. Talk to me about Austin Jackson.
Yeah, Austin Jackson, it looks like he's almost reinvented himself. I mean, he's actually donated all of his Ks to Jeff Francoeur, it looks like. He's swinging at fewer pitches outside the zone, and he's actually dropped his K percentage by 8 points so far. So, you know, like you said, he's like Aoki, where his contact percentage is up 88%. And I don't want to throw all these numbers out, but just to say, he is in uncharted territory now because of the way he's changing his skill set. And he's getting to the point where we're getting to the season where his last season output of 300 and 1515, it didn't seem to be a fluke. Now, remember, because he did that right after a season where he went, you know, I think 280 with a 313 on base percentage. He's changing the way he's changing his approach, and it's really showing me to be like, you know, what we thought he was when he first came up. He didn't quite get there, but now it looks like he's legit. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, he could score 130 runs this year. That's not out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like Detroit has the best team in the AL right now, and being surrounded with those guys, yeah, I mean, he's going to have a good year if things continue.
Okay, tell me why you're selling Clay Buchholz, because I've never liked him, so you don't have to sell me on this.
Right, I mean, I don't know many people who do like him, but people do get affected by these season starts. He has that pedigree from 4 or 5 years ago where he was supposed to be a top-of-the-rotation starter, and people are attracted to that still, I think, you know, kind of like how people are attracted to Travis Snyder. But the problem with Buchholz is he's had an amazing year so far, but his pitch selection is the same. His fastball velocity is actually down so far. So basically the small sample size that we have to look at has done a good job deceiving the fact that his underlying stats pretty much make him the pitcher he's always been, which is, I guess, the football equivalent to Kevin Cobb, right?
All right, real quick, in like one sentence, tell me why you're buying Edwin Jackson.
Oh, one sentence, his ERA is 4.84, his BAPIP is way high, his left on base percentage is way below where it should be, and his FIP is at 3.08. He's still striking guys out, so that's why I'm buying.
All right, that's good use of commas. Thanks, Jay Wrong. We'll follow you at Jay Wrong on Twitter.
Thank you, Nick. Talk to you next time.
The Razzball Podcast.
Hi, Gray.
Hey, what's going on?
You know what? I have to redo my intro now because it was supposed to be Gray and Rudy, but Rudy just emailed in sick.
Yeah, Rudy's got allergies, yo.
Who calls in sick for allergies?
Librarians, menopausal women, and Rudy Gamble.
That is fantastic. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, Gray. But listen, I'm excited to just have you and I. It's kind of like a little fireside chat. You know, I feel like we should be drinking some sort of scotch, you know, combing our mustaches, or me helping you comb yours.
I'm smoking a pipe right now, and I'm wearing a robe.
That's just how I picture it.
I'm wearing, actually, I bought the Thunder Lips from Rocky III robe off of eBay. That's what I'm wearing.
Every time I see you, I just picture you, like, you know, in white pants, a white shirt, you know, sitting on the beach in California. That's what I see.
My sleeves are cut off. You're seeing that too, right?
Absolutely. And then I see the cougar, you know, off to fill your pipe with some more, you know, tobacco or herbal tobacco.
Yo, Cougs! Get me my denim shirt with my sleeves cut off.
Hey, let me ask you a question. We had LT on earlier. He was just talking quickly about some head-to-head point league stuff. You ever play head-to-head points, or is that just sacrilege?
No, I never did.
It's roto or nothing for me.
I never played any points leagues at all. I've done head-to-head. I don't like head-to-head, but LT is the points guru. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I should have said that with a straight face.
Great. Let's talk a little bit of baseball. So, also, we had Jay Wrong on today, and a couple weeks ago when he did his preseason bold predictions column, he predicted that Bryce Harper could go 40-25. So, let's just say, for argument's sake, you're laying down a nickel in Las Vegas. What odds do you think he hits A, 40 homers? And what odds do you think he hits the 25 steals?
Around Razzball, we call Jay Wrong's Bryce Harper prediction. That's Jay Wrong's one crazy prediction that wasn't Padres related. I think he said Will Venable would go 20-40.
He did, but actually, when he and I were just on, we were discussing a couple of the progress.
Jay Wrong is the reason why we can't get a subscription for our site.
Unless you're trying to sell gifts.
He also said Everett Cabrera would get 70-plus bases, 70-plus steals.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I don't think Cabrera can swipe 70 bases, but I could see Cabrera hitting 10 home runs, 8 or 10 home runs, and getting 45, 50 steals and hitting 270 or above.
I liked how Jay Wrong said 70 plus steals. He didn't say 70 to 75. 70 plus. No way he could steal 225 bases. Everything after 70. I'm Jay Wrong. It's all plus after 70.
At least he was bold. I have to give him credit. He was bold.
He also said yonder. Alonzo would out-homer the entire National League except for John Buck.
All right, well, listen, the season is young. So give me the odds on 40-plus jacks for Bryce Harper.
40-plus, I'd put the odds at about 10%, maybe.
And what about this?
Yeah, I'd say 10%, 40-plus, and I'd say 25% chance of getting 25 steals.
You think it's only 10% that he hits 40 homers? I mean, he's just been not just hit. It's not line drives he's hitting. He's been clearing the right field fence.
Yeah, it's still real early. I mean, he gets 40 homers isn't going to be easy for anyone in the major leagues, let alone a guy who, you know, doesn't have a track record that long. I wouldn't put much money on the fact that he's going to go 40, 25, let alone 40 homers.
So it would be very silly for me to then ask you, is there any chance he's the best player in baseball right now?
No, that's not silly to ask. I think he could be the best player in baseball and not go 40-25. I mean, offense is so impressed.
Agreed.
I think Bryce Harper has a great chance of putting up top 10 fantasy numbers this year. He was a good pick. It was one of Rudy's stronger picks over on Friends and Family, taking him in the second round because he knew he wouldn't come back to him in the third. So it was, it's looking like a solid first round to second round fantasy value guy right now.
Actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you guys actually took him in the first round in the Friends and Family, 13th overall. That's in my head, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think it was the turn of, you know, first, second. So, yeah, maybe it was, I guess it was the first round. Okay.
So, CC Sabathia got roughed up opening day against the Red Sox, but since then he's looked pretty good. Actually, his numbers have been great the last three starts. Is he a sell high, or do you think his velocity issue is something that is a concern?
I said to sell him high. Actually, I've said to sell him high on numerous occasions. I'm not a big believer in CC this year. He had surgery over the off season. His velocity's been down. I think the Yankees have already said that he wouldn't pitch more than maybe, you know, 180 innings. At some point, he could get shut down for a couple starts, might hit the 15-day DL. I wouldn't be surprised to see any of that happen. I definitely would sell him high. I see him as around the number two with the name value of a number one, and you're looking at around a 3.6, 3.8 ERA with maybe 25 starts on the year.
Okay. A couple other pitchers that haven't looked good that you expected more from, David Rice. I'll also throw Matt Cain and Cole Hamels into the conversation. And they've all been terrible. Do you have any concern over those?
Yeah. No, they all have been awful.
But really bad.
I like David Price. He has a high balls bat into play, and his and his men left on base hasn't been great, but he's also, his fastball is 2 miles off his average from last year, which is definitely a concern. Maybe he threw too many pitches last year. Maybe his arm is just tired from his last couple seasons. Maybe he's hiding an injury. I'm definitely concerned about David Price. I wouldn't sell him low because I think then I don't think you're going to get anything worthwhile right now for David Price, unless his name value does offer something. I mean, that's the whole thing with, like, trades. Like, a lot of times we'll get comments that will say, like, David Price, sell high or buy low. And it's like, well, it depends on what you're selling him for, what you're trading to get him.
Right.
But right now, I think Price is going to get better, but I would be concerned about the velocity. With Matt Cain, I'm not concerned at all. It looks like he's getting really unlucky with home runs. And if AT&T Park suppresses homers again this year the way it has going forward, I wouldn't be concerned at all. And then Hamels, I had concerns coming into the year. He has injury concerns still. I would stay away from Hamels. There were shoulder issues back in February. I think at some point he's going to go on to the DL.
So would you rank them Cain, Price, Hamels in that order?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So seeing as pitchers generally carry more risk than hitters, do you ever even, you know, for just your own personal metrics, ever kind of factor that in? Like, is it, if you're trading a hitter and getting a pitcher back, is it like 65 cents on the dollar? Is there a metric that you use when you're doing that kind of deal?
Well, like someone like, Matt Cain or even someone who isn't pitching terribly, let's say Strasburg, even though he didn't have a great last start, I would trade for an ace because in most leagues this is. So say you're in a 12-team mixed league and you need pitching, I would trade for an ace rather than, say, A.J. Griffin and, I don't know, Jared Parker. Just for some reason you're monopolizing all A's. You're Billy Beane.
Okay.
So then you take Strasburg. He has his value, and he can change your pitching, you know, from top to bottom. He can make a huge difference. But if you're a 12-team mixed league, you can get someone like Edison Volquez off of waivers for his home starts, and he could do just as well as, say, trading for maybe an R.A. Dickey or someone. You know, I would go for the upper echelon with a pitcher in a trade in most mixed leagues, but then for especially if your waivers are looking at guys where you can stream decent players. If you can stream solid guys off of waivers, then why are you trading for, say, Jake Peavy? You know, I don't, maybe Dickey wasn't the best example because last year he was a huge number one, even though I have a lot of questions about him this year, and I wouldn't have drafted him because of the whole Blue Jays and knuckleball and American League and his last name was really phallic.
Hey, let me ask you another question. Your preseason, let's say, dream boat this year was Josh Rutledge. You in fact, you had him high, really high in your Razzball 400 going into the season. And this is interesting. He's actually scored.
Rudy really liked him as well.
Yeah, but you had him as like a ninth rounder. And actually, this is just.
Rudy had him in point shares, I think, top 50 overall.
Oh, okay. Well, listen. Okay, so you're both in love with him. And in the last week, I don't even know how this is possible, he scored 9 runs on 3 hits. So my question is,
it's actually,
think about that.
It's even crazier because he gets like, he walks once every 3 months.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's like the only person in the history of baseball whose on-base percentage is lower than his batting average.
Is he going to continue to develop and prove you guys right, or is he going to start sending us emails from Denver by the end of the season, like Pedro from Pittsburgh did last year?
No, Rutledge, I was, as I said, probably more than any sane man would have in the offseason, in the preseason, that Rutledge has 17 homer, 17 steal potential. So right there, you throw that your MI, and you have a guy that's worth taking, you know, fairly, maybe in the top 10 rounds, at least the 10th round. Someone that has potential to really break out. And you then throw him into the Coors, and you have someone who maybe could get 20-plus homers and still has that 15 to 20 steal speed. That's a guy who has a lot of value for fantasy, even if he does hit 250 to 260.
Okay, fair enough. Great. Justin Upton doesn't hit anything except homers now in Atlanta. What's his season home run total?
Well, in the preseason, I ranked him 10th overall, and I gave him 28 homers. I'll add 4 more onto that and make it 32. And, you know, it's still really early. If he goes into a 2-week slump, it wouldn't be unheard of, and he would be right back on pace for around 30 homers. So I'll give him 32 at this point, but yeah, I wish I owned him. I wish I would have been in a position to grab him at 10 overall because I would have took him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Justin Upton, Bryce Harper. I mean, these are, at this point, it's all gravy.
Yeah, well, it's still early to be changing preseason projections unless there's a major injury, like say with Greinke. Fuck you, Carlos Quinton.
Right. How long till Adam Craig loses his job to Matt Carpenter in St. Louis?
Alan Craig won't lose his job to Matt Carpenter. He'll get injured, or someone, or Beltran will get injured, or something. Either injury or I don't know. Alan Craig isn't going to lose his job just flat out. He'll he'll either get injured or someone else will get injured.
Because they're leaving Carpenter's bat on the bench, and he's been fantastic so far.
You mean Matt Adams.
Sorry, Matt Adams. I apologize.
Yeah, it's fine. Carpenter has been playing. Matt Adams, yeah, he should be playing for sure, but there's no position for him right now. I think he probably will end up at first with Craig going into the outfield and probably Beltran moving down. But then also people are like, oh, Oscar Tavares, but he has no spot to play either. So they need two injuries at least to get him anywhere near the team.
Yeah, either that or the completely unfactual trade rumor of Profar for Tavares has to happen.
Yeah, it would make total sense, though, for both teams.
It's so logical, it just won't happen.
Yeah, I know. I would even trade Andrews, but I don't know. They just signed him for a long deal, so it doesn't look like that's happening right this second.
Yeah, I'd trade Kinsler. I'd give up Kinsler for Tavares.
Yeah, Kinsler, totally. I think the Rangers would be wise to look at what is going on right now with the Yankees, because that's where they're going to be in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Matt Garza, last question, is going to make his first rehab start this week. Considering he's owned in less than 50% of leagues, you got a bench spot for him?
I'd actually find a DL spot for him.
Right, okay. But it'll take...
But who am I? Who am I to argue semantics with you, Nick Capozzi? Yeah, I'd pick up Garza and stash him while he is right before he comes back. I think it's probably wise, as it is with most pitchers in most leagues, to bench him for his first start back. But, yeah, Garza should be good while he's, if he's healthy, he should be fine. I'd definitely grab him.
Yeah, and it'll be great because he'll give you 6 or 7 strong innings, and then the Cubs bullpen will mess it up. It's perfect.
Carlos Marmol will do a Marmol.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is code for turd.
Gray, thanks as always, buddy.
Hey, no problem, Nicky. All right.
All right, of course, you can always follow him at Razzball. You can follow me at Nick Capozzi. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week on the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Late.